welcome to another broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We bring gospel clarity in an anti-Christian age, making known the riches of Christ to the nations. Today's topic is about training for the ministry.
A student is not above his teacher. If he faced certain things, so will we. It wasn't even easy for Jesus himself. The ministry of Jesus Christ was a bitter struggle. But it's intended to say, this happened for Christ, keep your eyes on the prize. Christ is demonstrating for us today what ministry and his harvest and his kingdom and his labor is all about and the difficulty that will accompany it.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, as we're continuing our study in the book of Matthew, and we come to verses 27 to the end of the chapter today. Found on page 968 in the Bibles that are in front of you, we'll begin our reading at verse 27 of Matthew chapter 9. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-possessed man was mute, who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never was anything like this seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And may the Lord bless the hearing this morning of his word. Well, throughout these chapters in Matthew, these first chapters today, we've been considering up through chapter 9, we have really studied Jesus performing great authority in the ministry and demonstrating his great authority as we've been looking at to forgive sins, but authority over every aspect of life as we've seen through Matthew's gospel. Today we come to the end of, I believe, a major section in the Gospel of Matthew that really has been, that is summarizing everything that we've been studying since chapter 5. You see a structure here that comes out in Matthew's Gospel, and we have captured a summary, if you will, if you're looking for sort of a summary of the message today. This is a summary of what Christian ministry is to be. It's a summary of what drove Jesus in all of his efforts to bring in the gospel of the kingdom. That's a great theme that is here mentioned in Matthew's gospel. And it anticipates, as we see, the climax of Matthew 28 in the Great Commission. Go, and you'll notice in Matthew, he emphasizes certain things in the Great Commission. Baptize and teach them all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. This is important because the next section, he sends out the 12 on sort of a trial run, if you will, a mini great commission, and all of this that precedes is sort of training for this. It's important today because what we've been studying in the chapters of Matthew so far, and what we have in front of us, is you might call seminary training. Seminary training for those going out into ministry, to go out and minister the word of Christ. And certain things are emphasized, certain lessons are learned that are very important for all of us to take in. That today, Matthew orders to show this and to demonstrate this of what we can expect in Christian ministry. of what the disciples would expect. What should not just be expected, but what should drive the ministry. And looking carefully at the ministry of Jesus and his focus, this was the aim of Matthew in these sections for the disciples, but also for us to study and understand Christian ministry, and that's crucial for us in our day to continue to hold on to this. It's surprising what we find as we sort of close out this first major section of this long run of Jesus' teaching and the many acts that he did in the book of Matthew so far. And Matthew arranges it so that we would be encouraged and not surprised. A student is not above his teacher, as Jesus would say. If he faced certain things, so will we. It wasn't even easy for Jesus himself. The ministry of Jesus Christ was a bitter struggle. But it's intended to say, this happened for Christ, keep your eyes on the prize. So it has that enduring quality here that we're going to look at as we study him and as we see how he endured certain things, what drove him. Christ is demonstrating for us today what ministry and his harvest and his kingdom and his labor is all about and the difficulty that will accompany it. So we must pray as Christ does, calls us to pray. And this section helps us with that. To see what he's doing here, I want you to see a little bit of the structure of Matthew because I think it helps to make the case for exactly what's happening here. You'll notice in verse 35, what we have is called an inclusio, meaning that it's a kind of refrain, if you will, that brings something important together. Notice verse 35, listen to it. And Jesus went through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. That is a kind of refrain that has already been said. In fact, if you want to see this, I encourage you to just flip back to chapter 4. And when you look back at chapter 4, you will see in verse 23, the very same verse quoted just before the Sermon on the Mount. The very same statement is made. So all of the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount and all of the displays of power and all of his healing of all these diseases is demonstrating that the gospel of the kingdom has come. The good news of the kingdom. It's all been proven. But just before this refrain in Matthew, so you have it sort of as a, well, maybe a giant chiasm, but in chapter 4, right before he makes that statement in verse 23, the same one that we have here in chapter 9, verse 35, he said to his disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So there it is. This is a training session. His teaching and what he has been doing on the field, if you will, is a training session for the disciples. It's important because it gets us to the heart of gospel ministry. It takes us to the heart of what the ministry is designed to accomplish. So I want you to notice today that our text has recorded here two events in sort of rapid-fire progression, leading to this closing statement and this closing scene of this first section of Matthew. We have here, if you're taking notes, the mercy of Christ exhibited, the mockery expressed, and then the motivation explained of the ministry that he is bringing. Notice verse 27. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." We've already looked at a lot of affliction in this book. I can't imagine going through this life blind. That has to be one of the worst afflictions, to not see anything, to not be able to read, to not be able to see colors, to not be able to enjoy life, always in darkness. It's an awful affliction that the Gospels give a lot of attention to. We don't have so much here a theological point made as it is elsewhere, but what Matthew's intending to do is showcase something about Jesus. Showcase something about Jesus. He has left Capernaum, and now he's moving throughout Galilee, and in verse 35, through all the villages and all the cities. But notice this emphasis that two blind men followed him, crying out. When he comes to the house, they continue to come to him. Now, if you put this together with the next scene, which we're going to do here, as they were going, I wanted to skip down to that, behold, a demon-possessed man who was mute was brought to him. And Jesus is going to give him deliverance. So the gospel of the kingdom has arrived. The gospel of the kingdom has come. And Jesus is never alone. I want you to notice that he's never left alone. There are constantly people coming. There are constantly people coming. And some of the most inconvenient of all people. These blind men are yelling out along the road and following him, and they're bringing to him, remember chapter 4, paralytics. They're bringing to him all kinds of diseased epileptics, all these people who are full of all kinds of problems. They're bringing him demon-possessed people, paralytics, here a mute man, and he continues to bear it all. Now, it's really hard, you know, when we have reports constantly of people who are sick or people who face various difficulties. You know the difficulty of bearing that. You know the discouragement of that. It just seems like it's constantly coming. You know, we hear report after report. We go through one death and then we know something's coming soon. This is a lot to carry, you know. This is weary. This is difficult. The challenges of this never seem to go away. And this is exactly what Jesus is showing us here. He's continuing to bear it all. They just keep coming. They just keep coming. Remember what he said, what I said, this section is closing out the summarizing ministry activity of Jesus. He faced this his entire ministry. But I take these two accounts together. Notice what they're asking. Mercy. Mercy. We need, Lord, mercy. In total faith, these two blind beggars are crying out, Son of David, which is clearly in that time, we know from the extant literature, it's a messianic term. It's faith that this is the Messiah. Have mercy on me. I don't know about you. See how prominent a prayer this is in the Bible? That's why I picked Psalm 51 today. At the heart of that psalm is that very cry. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your compassions. Be merciful to me. Think of how we sing it. On your grace I rest my plea, plenteous in compassion thou. Blot out my transgression now. That's clearly on their minds. Just like these people who've been coming, the paralytic, son, take heart, forgiven are your sins. Jesus looks at them and he says, do you believe that I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. And he reaches out and he touches their eyes and says, according to your faith, be it done. What a moment in ministry. What a moment of power. But then in the next section, he says, when you go into a city, inquire who in it, now think of the training here, he's going to send them out. When you go in it, inquire in it who is worthy. And if they are worthy, let your peace come. And that leads us to the great question, I think, that's driving this section of who is worthy. Who are those who are worthy? And what we see in the Gospels over and over is that those who are worthy are those who are the ones who are constantly crying to him for mercy. This happens with both the accounts here, in a sense. Their eyes were opened, the mute man spoke, the demon was cast out. In the next section, My point is this. Before the disciples, Jesus never turned away people who came to him in faith for mercy. I think we need to remember that. Jesus did not turn away in the scriptures or in the gospels people who were coming to him constantly for mercy. He said it in John 6. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He always had time for them. He always gave place to them. And I think this is a valuable point in front of the disciples. I have come for mercy and not sacrifice. This is the purpose for which I've come in ministry. His desire was to, now think about this. This will round out as we get to the end here. His desire was to deliver those who cried out for mercy. To you too. We're no different than these people. The same burdens, the same sense of failure, the same heart that cries out because of sin and failure is in these people. And his attention is here. He's able and willing. And you need to remember this when you cry out to mercy for him. You remember this, one of the shortest prayers in the Bible is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That guy goes down to his house justified. You can be in your bed at night in all distress and worry, and you can cry out for mercy and know he is hearing and answering. This is what he delights to do. This is the compassion of Christ exhibited. It's mercy exhibited. And that's important for ministry and the training, isn't it? But now the mockery expressed. Notice what follows. It's interesting. In the first account, we read in verse 30 that Jesus sternly warned. There's like, I think, three words in the original. See none discover. It's a stern warning. You don't say a word about this. See that no one knows about this. What's the next verse you read? But they went out and spread his fame throughout all the district. Now, that's direct disobedience. Why would that be captured? This is where I was stuck this week. I was stuck. You got to make a decision here. When I meet with Pastor Contreras, we talk about these things, and we both disagreed. So we didn't come to an agreement on this verse. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. In the second account, after he heals the mute man, we read, the multitudes marveled and said, we've never seen anything like this in Israel. Now here's what follows. But the Pharisees said, he casts out demons by the prince of demons. Wow. Out of seemingly nowhere. Do you understand a statement that is? They didn't just disagree that the man was healed. They said, this happened because it was a direct work of Satan, the prince of demons. It was his power that made this man well. He's doing it by Satan's power. Who are they talking to? Now, this issue is going to come up again. The Pharisees will do this again in Matthew's gospel. He will confront it. But isn't it interesting that Matthew just leaves it alone? Boom, said. They just undermined everything he did. And nothing said. Matthew wants us to think about, I believe, what Jesus had to endure in ministry. Matthew wants us to think about what Jesus himself had to endure in ministry. Put it together. He shows mercy, and those to whom he shows mercy go out and directly disobey him. And then, when it seems like such a success, he heals the mute man, the demon-possessed man, the crowds were amazed, I woke somebody up. I'm pretty sure. The crowds were amazed, and the whole thing is undone by the Pharisees. Direct disobedience, and then you're called a demon. Satan did that. Now, I don't really like to be undermined in ministry. You know, it's not fun when things are out and things are said and you know they're not true. You don't like that about you, do you? None of it's corrected. None of it. Sometimes you have to stop and say, why did he say it this way? And ask the question, why is nothing else said? Now think of our environment, what we would do. What conclusion are we drawing? I think the first point's kind of crucial. They didn't obey. And we might come to the conclusion and say, well, how could they not? How could they obey? They were just healed. Who would not go around and tell everyone? But Jesus said, don't. Doesn't the Great Commission say, go into all the world, baptize the nations, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded? When in Acts they went out, they didn't go where they wanted. The whole time the Lord was directing where they would go, shutting doors. You go here. At one point, remember, the Spirit put up a stop sign for Paul's ministry. You're not going to Bithynia. I couldn't get away from this thought. Do we think ministry was easy himself for Jesus? Look at the disobedience. And then look at what was said about him. You're doing your work by demons. If someone were saying that in the church today about me, I might blow a gasket. Problem. After problem, after problem.
Well, we're out of time for today, but we're glad that you joined us. Be sure to tune in next time for part two as we finish up this important study in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon on Abounding Grace Radio. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email that's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.